Grace be to you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Next of our sermon this evening with this Thanksgiving thought is recorded in 1 Chronicles, and we read there in the 16th chapter, verses 34 to 36. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Cry out, save us, God our Savior. Gather us and deliver us from the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Then all the people said, Amen, and praise the Lord. This is God's word. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, thankful people, we have gathered to praise our Redeemer and Creator. Among the familiar phrases that we use in our liturgies, one of them is a prayer that many of us use as a family prayer at mealtime. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. King David included that phrase as part of our liturgy, part of our family prayer, devotional life, in a praise song that he gave to the Levites that they were supposed to sing, because now the Ark of the Covenant had been returned from God's enemies and was back in the hands of God's people in Jerusalem. And with this entire song, of which our text is a part, King David summons all of the believers across time and space to join in that song of praise. This evening, I summon you to do the same. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Well, see, first of all, that there is no limit to God's kindness, and secondly, that he is the God of our salvation. When David gave these words to the Levites, he used the name Lord in the form that we call the Tetragrammaton. That's that word Lord in all capital letters. This is the name of the Lord that means God of free and faithful grace. This was the covenant name of that covenant that he had made with Abraham, that he would send the Savior of the world. It is that Lord to whom we give thanks, because there's no limit to his kindness. For he is good. His love endures forever. Some synonyms for love here are kind, merciful. So God is good, and that goodness never changes, because God never changes. That love, that kindness, that mercy is always dependable, because it is from everlasting to everlasting. I hope you're beginning to see the point of my message to you this evening, and that is that we give thanks to God not so much because of what he does, how he acts. We give thanks to God because of who he is, because of his changeless, eternal qualities and characteristics that are always there behind his actions. How thankful we are that our God, the Lord, is good and that he is kind. These two things are characteristics or attributes of God's nature. They are what make him who he is. We cannot apply these qualities to any human being in our nature. They are not something that we would be able to have or to use. And so again, we give thanks to God, the Lord, for he is goodness in his nature. He is kindness and mercy in his nature. We thank him primarily because of who he is, and who he was, and who he will be. In that connection, recall how God names himself in the revelation of Christ to St. John. He said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the Lord God says, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. How often are we tempted to change those words a little bit and say, give thanks to the Lord when I'm good. Give thanks to the Lord when things are going good. When I define what goodness is and think that then God has been good to me, then I'll give him thanks. Or when I look around at my life and I think God has been kind to me or merciful to me or not, depending on how I define kindness and mercy, if we do either one of those things, those are pretty shaky grounds on which to decide whether or not to thank God or to praise his name as his child. However, we give thanks to God because he is. We give praise to God because he is kind and merciful. And so we know that whatever happens to us, whatever circumstances we are in, that God is good. And God is kind. And God would never send anything from his goodness or his kindness that would hurt me or would harm me. He wouldn't give me a stone if I asked for a fish, as even human fathers might do. And when we realize this, that we are thankful to God primarily because of who he is, then that really humbles us. That really puts us down on our knees in proper thanksgiving and praise from humility. As I mentioned in the Bible class last Sunday, I like this definition that humility before God is not thinking less of myself, but is thinking about myself less. Thinking less about me and how my life is going and what things are in my life, but thinking more about God who is good, who is love. And then give thanks to him and praise his name because of those qualities. There is no variableness in God's goodness. There is no time limit or space limit on God's kindness and mercy. God is the Lord. We give thanks to the Lord who is good, who is merciful, who is the only true God, who who is forever and ever. I said a little earlier that we don't give thanks to God because of how he acts toward us, but because of who he is. But there is one thing, one action of God that moves us to thankfulness and praise. And that is that he has saved us from our sins. That he has redeemed us, lost and condemned creatures. But now ask yourself, why did he do that? It is because of who he is. Everything God does, every way God acts, everything God gives or withholds, it comes from who he is. You know, we even do that among each other. We all have our little quirks. We all have our little ways of doing things. We all have our habits. And how do we explain that? Well, that's just how he is. Like, we shouldn't expect anything different, anything else or less of him, because that's just the way he is. God has saved us because that's just who he is. He is good. He is love. And from that nature, from that quality of those things, then he acted. When the NIV here translates, and David says, cry out, save us, God our Savior. Gather us and deliver us from all nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. Where the English says, God our Savior, the Hebrew says, God of our salvation. In other words, our salvation is of God. It belongs to him from beginning to end. From eternity, God called you and me and elected us for salvation through Christ. God the Son came into this world and carried out that redemption and that salvation by offering his holy life on the cross to pay for all of our sins. God the Holy Spirit calls us into that faith and preserves and keeps us in that faith, safe and sound in our faith, until we get to heaven. God is the God of our salvation. From eternity to eternity, our forgiveness and salvation is God's work. That's just who he is. That's just what he's done for us because of who he is. And that's the reason that we give thanks to him and praise his name and cry out to the Lord, save us, gather us and deliver us from all the nations. David is pointing ahead there to God calling his people as a special people and keeping them special as a picture of God calling his church, his universal, holy Christian church out of all nations in the world. He was also pointing ahead thinking of the last times that just ended. David was also looking ahead to the day when God would gather together his believers from the four corners of the world. When all the dead in Christ will leave our graves if that's where we are. Or will be gathered in our lives wherever we are. We'll be gathered together and delivered to stand before the throne of Christ our King, who we worship this last Sunday. With David's words, he was pointing the people's eyes ahead because they had not yet experienced the fulfillment of the coming Savior. But they had already experienced the salvation that he would bring in the promise. God saw to it that those sinners who lived before Christ came were saved in exactly the same way through believe in Christ, then we're saved. By grace alone, through faith, by the power of His Word. David's song of praise anticipated the Savior's first advent, and it predicted also His second advent. And now David again mentions that Lord's name. The Lord, tetragrammaton, the God, there's His other name, the God of power and might, of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. He is the God of Israel. Israel is the church, the holy Christian church, the communion of saints. Our God is from everlasting to everlasting. And the church is also to everlasting, as He will gather us to heaven. And what was the people's response to this song of praise, to this summons to the people? Then all the people said, Amen, and praise the Lord. You call it panicism? That Amen means this is most certainly true. And all the people, when they would sing and hear those words, would say, yes, that is true. We will cry out, save us, O God of our salvation. Gather us and deliver us from the nations. You are the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. And then they cried out with a doxology, a song of praise. Praise the Lord. This evening, I summon you and invite you to join those people in those words. Every day in your lives, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Say with those believers, Amen. Say with those believers, praise the Lord. Amen.